Amen. You have your Bible. Turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. You know, John tells you in John chapter 20 in verse 30 why he and verse 31 why he wrote this book. And you know, right before he said this, there was a man named Thomas. And you know what? Thomas did not believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And you know what the Lord said to Thomas? If you don't believe, come. Examine. Put your fingers here and feel the holes in my hand. Reach hither and feel my side that was torn open for you. And you know what Thomas said? Okay. I believe. And look what it says here in verse 29. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now there's two things there. God wants you to examine the evidence. If you don't believe, you know what God wants you to do? Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. He wants your faith to be based on reason and based on examining the evidence. And even though Jesus is not standing here and we can't do the same thing Thomas did, we can examine the evidence and believe even though we have not physically seen Jesus. And we'll be more blessed than Thomas. Isn't that a blessing? But look what he says about why he wrote this book. And he says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. Jesus did a lot of things that were not recorded in the gospel. And we can't know all that he's done. But look what he says. But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, in that believing you might have life through his name. That's why John wrote the book. So you can believe Jesus was the Christ. He was the Messiah, the Lamb that came to take away the sin of the world. And if you believe that, and by believing that, you know what you might have? You might have life. What a blessing. You know what? John was a Jew. And when Jesus came, he was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. And when Jesus died on the cross and rose again, you know what that meant for Judaism? The temple, the sacrifices, and all of that meant nothing anymore. It was done away with. They didn't even have their kingdom. They didn't have their own country. They were occupied by the Romans. Now the one thing that gave them hope and made them special was taken away from them and given something better, the Lord Jesus Christ. But John looked at his countrymen and his fellow citizens and the people of his culture, and they were without hope, and they had nothing. And he said, I'm going to write something down that will give hope to every one of these people. You know, we can't know all that Jesus did, but if we read the book of John, we can know enough about Jesus to have life. You know, it's only 40 pages long. These are some of the 40 most important pages ever written. Have you ever read it? Why not? It's important. It's written so you can believe in Jesus and that you might have life. And I don't know if you're here this morning and you're in a miserable condition, but you can have life through Jesus. And that's why it was written. So what did John write about Jesus that we need to know about him and understand in order to have life? We'll go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, this is the key to life in here. You know, there's only two men that ever came into this world having life. And one was Adam. And you know what Adam did with his life? He ate the fruit and he died. We're talking about eternal life, spiritual life. That means Adam's spirit died and he could no longer communicate with God. He was walking around, but he did not have spiritual life. And then Jesus came into the world and he had life. And he never lost that life, but he extends it and wants to pass it on to you and I. And you cannot get life by taking a pill. You can't do that. You can't get life by having a new diet. Thank God you can't get life by exercising. I hate exercise. It ruins your life. It really does. And you can't get life that way. And you cannot get life by finding the fountain of youth and eating the fruit of a tree. The only way that we can access eternal life is by believing in Jesus Christ. You know, belief is not something you can fake. Belief is not something that you can work at. You either believe or you do not believe. And if you believe, you have life, and if you do not, you do not have life. You know how belief works? You imagine those scales that are outside of a courthouse, right? And you know what happens when you are questioning something? You examine evidence in this column. You examine questions in this column. And eventually the scale tips one way and you say, I believe or I do not believe. And when you believe, you get life. And this is what you have to believe about Jesus in order to have life. You know, there's many belief systems, but only one can give you eternal life. You know, belief changes who you are. Belief determines your behavior. Eating food doesn't change who you are. It may change the way you look, but it doesn't change who you are. The only way to change who you are is through belief. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And all other roads lead to hell. Jesus claimed exclusivity. He said, this is the only way. There's only one right answer to any question. 2 + 2 = 0. And all the other answers are wrong. There's only one way to have eternal life. And so what do you have to believe? Well, look what he says in John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Well, the first thing I see here is we have to believe that God. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God. And God is eternal. And, you know, Jesus Christ is not just a historical figure. He's the eternal Word of God, who was with God, and who was God. And He is divine, and He was pre-existent to creation. He always was and He always will be. He's eternal. He had no beginning. There never was a time when Jesus didn't exist. You know, I cannot understand a being that had no beginning. Can you? There always was God. And before always, there just never, even before never and always and time and anybody to question that, God always, always, always existed, and He always will. There's no one else like that. You know, there's a concept called the otherness of God. You know what the Lord said? He said, there is none like me. There's no one like me. I am God, and there is none else. There is none like me. And, you know, Moses said, you know, Lord, I know You're telling me this stuff, but who will I say sent me? And He said, just say, I am. I am. Sent me. No one created God. You know, His thoughts are not our thoughts. Unless you're a Calvinist, then His thoughts are your thoughts. His ways are not your way. He's incomprehensible. He didn't evolve. Religion didn't create Him. People did not come up with Him. It's a fact that you have to face. You know, when I think about the difference of God, I think about some of the ways He traveled. You know, the Bible says He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Who does that? Who does that? The Bible says that the Lord descended on Mount Sinai in a fire. He descended in a fire. You know, the three Hebrew children saw God walking in the fire. Ezekiel saw a cloud of fire folding and enfolding itself, and God was in the midst of that fire. That is the Lord. And you think you're going to stand before God without His nature? He's in the fire. Better take on the nature of God. The Bible says He maketh His way in the clouds and walketh upon the wings of the wind. And you know, God cannot give you eternal life unless He's eternal. That's why it's important. He cannot give you eternal life if He does not have it. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:15, He says, He will show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who hath immortality, dwelling in the light no man can approach unto. He's immortal. How are you going to argue with an eternal, immortal being? You cannot add to Him. And you cannot take away from Him. If God is eternal, you can do nothing for Him, but He can do everything for you. He says, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, people accuse us of being polytheistic. And they say, you believe in three gods. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. No, we do not. We believe in one God that's expressed in three persons. And that's what the Trinity is called. Jesus is not a separate God. Paul said unto us, there is one God and one Lord Jesus. And all things were made by Him. He's not a separate God. Man, you know, we were made in His image. And we are body, soul, and spirit. And you know what happens if you separate my soul from my body? You destroy me. And you know what happens when you try to separate the Godhead? You destroy God. It's together. Jesus Christ is God. I'm a Father, I'm a Son, and I'm a soul, but I'm the same person. And that's the Lord. He's not a historical figure. It says all things were made by Him in verse 3. And without Him was not anything made that was made. He's the Creator. In Him was life, and the light was light of men. All things were created by Him. You know, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Who was that? That was Jesus. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and He said, let there be light, and there was light. He created. He spoke it into existence. He is the creator. And you know what you have to understand about that is the Lord, when He wanted to create, when He wants to interact with this universe, you know how He does it? He does it through language. He's revealed Himself through language. In the beginning was the Word. How did He create the world? He just spoke it into existence. And Jesus is the Word. And you know what people say? Well, that doesn't make sense. Does that mean the Bible was there in eternity? Now, remember what Jesus said? He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. God created language. You know why we're different than animals? Pigs don't write books. They don't think. They don't use language to express things to each other. And God created man in His image, and He has chosen to reveal Himself to us through language. In the beginning was the Word, the God that communicated, and He just spoke the world into existence. And you know what He wants to do? Just like He draws this contrast, just like in the beginning God created and gave life, Jesus Christ can give you eternal life through His Word. You know the difference is when the world was created, God said, let there be light. And you know what happened next? There was light. You know why? The world didn't argue with Him. It didn't argue with Him. You know, we are made clean. We are born again through the Word of God. And you know why it's different than when the world was there? Because we have a free nature. We have a free will. And since Adam, his spirit, died, God used to communicate with Adam through his spirit. But when his spirit died, the only way to give life again is through His Word. And so you know what happens? The Word of God right now is hitting your eardrum. But you know what happens next? It goes into your soul, which is your mind and your will and your emotions. And you know what happens? You say, yeah, I don't believe. No, thank you. I don't believe. I don't agree with that. I don't like that. That's not true. And you know what happens when you argue with it and you say no with your free will? It just goes in one ear and out the other, and conversion does not take place. But when you say, yes, that is true, I believe that Jesus Christ was God, I agree with that, I believe that, and you let it sink down, that's when conversion happens. That's when life happens. That's when healing happens. That's when hope comes in. That's when victory comes in. When you actually believe what God said, you agree with it, you say amen, and you say, let that be true. And so, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The only way to get life into that spirit is through His Word. But people don't believe it. So you know what happens? Nothing. They block it. They block it. But if you believe, it passes through. Look at verse 5. It says, and the light shineth in the darkness. But what happened? The darkness comprehended it not. Look at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Look at verse 11. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him. Yes, this is true. He is who He says He is. I agree. To them gave He power to be the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is God. He's the Creator. He's the giver of life. He's your Maker. He's your Judge. or he can do nothing for you. Jesus is the Lord, as he said he was, or he's a liar, or he was a lunatic. Those are the only three options that you have. And the only way to get help and healing is to believe his word. You know what God told Ezekiel? I put you in the midst of a rebellious people that have ears to hear but hear not. And they have eyes to see but see not. And you know what the Lord said? He said, my word is like that seed that falls on good ground. And it goes down and it brings forth fruit unto life. You know what the Lord said? Let these sayings sink down into your ear. Chew on them. Meditate on them. You know why the Word of God doesn't help people? Because they don't believe it. You know why people give in to temptation? Because they don't believe God's Word. They don't believe it. They don't believe that Jesus, as he said, he came to give you power and to set you free. They don't believe it. They don't believe what Paul said, that there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God will provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Talk to the alcoholic. Talk to the heroin addict. They do not believe it. And therefore, it doesn't help them. You know what faith is? Faith is the byproduct of belief. And you can't start believing Jesus until you stop believing a lie. Repentance is baked into belief. I can't put my trust in Jesus until I take it out of my religion. I can't put my faith in Jesus until I take it out of my works. Why am I going to heaven? Well, I'm a good person and I'm trying. No, you cannot put your faith in Jesus and in your works at the same time. You can't put your faith in Jesus and in yourself at the same time. You can't put your faith in Jesus and sin at the same time. And the problem is you believe those other things more than you believe the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what happened to Eve? Her trust went from God to Satan, and humanity was plunged into darkness. You know, God said, don't do it or you'll die. And Satan said, do it and you'll be better. And you know where her faith rested? In Satan. And you know what happens when you choose sin and you choose other things? Your faith is in what the devil said and not in what God said. There's only two belief systems on this world, God or the devil. There's only two. God's way or the devil's way. Religion is of the devil, and salvation is through Jesus Christ. It says in verse, and the life of men. It's in him. That's where eternal life is found. It says in verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You know what he says in John 5:39? Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which are of me. And he says, and you will not come to me that you might have life. The reason people don't go to Jesus for what they need is they do not believe that he can help them. They don't believe that he can help them. That's why they don't go. And that's why they don't call. And that's why they don't ask. And that's why they don't bow their head in prayer and say, Lord, save me, deliver me, and help me. What do you have to believe? Well, you have to believe that you need saving. Look in verse 5, and the light shine in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. The light is shining all around them, but they did not understand it. There were no eyes to pick it up. They just They just did not understand. You know why they didn't think they were in darkness? They did not believe they were in darkness. You know, you can shine a light into a cave and it makes no difference unless there's eyeballs staring back at you. You know, if you're in a cave, I used to go caving when I was a kid. And you can go and explore the cave. But when your battery starts getting dim, you start looking for the light. You start looking for the light. Because you know, if my light goes out down here and I don't have any light, I'm going to be lost in this cave and I'm going to die in this cave. And you know what happens when you know that might happen? You start looking for the light. And I'm telling you, when your battery's going dim and you're coming through those corridors and you see the light from outside shining into that cave, it's a wonderful thing. And you know why people can't find the light of Jesus? They don't know they're in darkness. They don't know they're lost in this world and without hope. And the only hope they have is the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. You know what happens when you come and try to give light to people that don't know they're in darkness? They argue with you. You know what happened when the missionaries came and the cannibals were there? They're like, God doesn't want you eating other people. They said, how would we stop? This is our favorite thing to do. This is our culture. This is our heritage. This is how we celebrate. We'll kill you and eat you. And they literally killed the missionaries and ate them. What was happening? The light was shining into the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man that came here, and he's a missionary to the Indians in Central America. And he said, in their culture, when a woman comes of age, her father takes her and initiates her into womanhood or adulthood by doing the same thing that a man would do to consummate his marriage with his wife. And he says, and when you tell them that this is wrong, he says they get angry at you and they hate you. And the government turns a blind eye to it. And they said, this has been going on for thousands of years. How dare you say that this is wrong? Look what he says in John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus did not come to hurt you, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's why Jesus came, for you. Verse 18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than evil, than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. They like what they're doing. They like what they're doing. And if I say Jesus is right, it might mean that what I'm doing is wrong, so I'm going to get rid of Jesus. There is no God, so I can do whatever I want. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, they're wrought in God. A person that's looking for the light wants to know, is this right or is this wrong? A person in darkness says, how dare you say what I'm doing is wrong? Don't even suggest it. I love it. There's a missionary. He's dead now, but his name was Paris Reedhead. And he went over to the jungles to minister to people. And he said, when I went over there, I really believed that this was going to be the best day of their life. And I was going to tell them about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, and it was going to be the best day of their life. And he said, when I went over there, I found a people that already knew who God was and hated Him. And they loved their sin, and they loved their culture, and they loved their wickedness. And he said they were monsters of iniquity, just like I was before the light shined in. You have to believe you need saving. You have to believe that you need it. And just because you're saved doesn't mean you don't still need light and life and healing and help and hope. You still need it. Paul said he had delivered me from so great a death. He delivered me from the penalty and the punishment of sin. And he said, and he doth deliver, and we trust that he will yet deliver. You have a Savior if you're saved. You have eternal life, and you should be asking the Lord to save you hundreds and hundreds of times a day. Lord, save me from my attitude. Lord, save me from this sin. Lord, help me put my trust in you and not in darkness. And him is life. I need him every day. I need him for my despair, my hopelessness, my attitude, the flesh, the pride of my soul. Lord, save me. And you have to believe, last, that Jesus became the Lamb. Look what he says in verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming into him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Of this is he whom I said, after me cometh one that is preferred before me, and I knew him not." The reason John was baptizing was God told him, one day you're going to baptize one person, and the Spirit's going to descend on him like a dove, and that is the one, the Messiah, the Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. You know what you have to understand? Look at what he says in verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Paul said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You know what John said in Revelation chapter 1? He sees God and that representation there standing in the candlesticks. And he said, I turned and listened to the voice that spake unto me. And he said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He that liveth and was dead. And you know why the Lord came down and took on human flesh? Is so he could die and be the Lamb of God, which would take away the sins of the world. And you know what all those sacrifices in the Old Testament were? It went like this. I've messed up. I've blown it and I can't pay for my sins. And the Lord says, I'll take care of it. Just bring me an animal and you know, we'll just trust me, I'll take care of it. Just give me a lamb in the meantime, but I'll make a way. And I'll pay for it. And you might say, but the animal can't die for me. I know that. I'm going to take away your sin. I'm the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. I'm the only one that can pay and the only sacrifice that God will accept. But I want you, so I'm going to become a lamb for you. And that's why God was robed in human flesh, so he could die for the sins of the world. You know, people always say, why doesn't God stop sin? Why doesn't he do something to stop it? You know why? To get rid of sin is to get rid of humanity. But you know what God wants to do? He wants to separate the light from the darkness. My grandfather was 80 years old when he got cancer, and he went to the doctor, and they say, well, we got some good news and some bad news. And the good news is we can kill the cancer, but if we kill it, we'll kill you. Okay? But we can give you this medicine and it can extend your life 4 years, but you're going to have to live with this. And so you know what my grandfather chose to do? He chose to stay in this world 4 more years to share his love and his life with his family because he loved them more than he hated the cancer. And you know what the Bible says? Talking about the long-suffering of God, it said it waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein 8 souls were saved. Why? Because even though God hated all that, he waited 100 years for Noah to build the ark. So those 8 souls could be saved, and we came from those 8 souls. And the reason the Lord is waiting, and he said the long suffering of God towards you is salvation. You would not be here this morning and have a chance to believe the Lord and put your faith in him if he wasn't long suffering. You know what he wants to do? He wants to divide the light from the darkness and separate the good from the evil. And he wants to save you. And so he died for you to take away your sin and pay for it so you don't have to become part of everybody and all the things that will be destroyed in this world that is going to hell. So you say, well, I'm already saved. It says here in verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Do you receive him? Do you believe him? Do you trust him that he's the way, the truth, and the life? If you don't, then you cannot have power to become the Son of God. That comes from him. That comes from his word. His spirit comes in and regenerates. And if you don't agree, find out, what is it that I don't agree with? What is it that I don't believe? Examine the evidence. Look at it. And study it until you do believe. You say, well, I'm already saved. What do I do? Look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for what? To bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And you know what we should do if we're born again, we're saved like John? We need to bear witness to the light. Listen, I am not the light. The Lord is the light. He saved me. I'm born again. I'm forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. I have a hope in me. He's given me victory. Listen, how dare us have the light and not tell other people about the light? They're floundering in darkness. They're on their way to a devil's hell. And we have the light. We have the hope and we have the help. Bear witness to the light. Let your light so shine before men. I'm going to have the people. And you know what? We've seen this morning that eternal life is not something that you can earn or achieve. It's a gift from God. And there's only one way, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I have a question for you, and it's very simple. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was the Lamb of God that was manifested to take away the sin of the world? If you'll bow your head and close your eyes and pray, and if you're here today and you are saved, you are born again, do you believe Jesus can help you with what you're going through? That he can deliver you? Do you believe? Whatever your trouble is, whatever your trial is, whatever your heartache is, why don't you bring that to the Lord? Bring it to the altar and say, Lord, I believe you for this. I trust you for this. Lord, you're the only one that can help me with this. I believe. And maybe you're here today and you've never been saved, never believed, you'd never been born again. If you want, you can come here and we'll take the Bible. And you can get that settled now. Because Jesus is the only way. Lord, we come before you this morning. And Lord, I know there's so many things that are going on in this world and people's hearts and their lives, and troubles and struggles and sins and temptations and trials. Lord, I pray that they would believe what you said about those things. They would not despair, but they would put their trust, their belief, and their hope in you. And if there's somebody here that's never been born again, never been saved, I pray that today they might say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And believing in him, they might have life through his name. Lord, speak to your people.